I'm Jen Shaw.
And I'm Kate O'Reilly.
And you're listening to
XOXO
JK, a show about good stuff, real stuff, funny stuff, a lot of stuff, you know? And in fact, so many things that this week, this particular episode, we decided to focus on just one stuff. We're going to take a deep dive into a kind of broad topic that I like to call holiday expectations.
I like it a lot. I have a lot to say about this stuff.
Me too. I think it can mean a bunch of different things. If it's like, you know, certain holidays sort of having this like whole big exciting expectation that it never ever lives up to, or like,
yeah,
you know, or like traditions that you do with your family. It's not just, I mean, we're kind of entering the holiday season now. Like, it's November, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, or whatever you celebrate all there. But I think that there's things can kind of go year-round, too. Like, weddings even can kind of be part of that, too. Or, you know, just sort of 4th of July. That's a thing.
That it still is. It is. After all these years.
America.
Let's just do it. Because okay.
Let's do it.
I feel like that car was really loud. That just
was all about that bass.
It was all about that bass.
No trouble.
So we just got off of Halloween and I was incredibly resistant to Halloween this year because if I don't have a great Halloween idea, which comes around like every few years, I do not want to have anything to do with it.
What was the best thing that you ever dressed up as for Halloween?
Mia Wallace from Pulp Fiction.
Ooh, that is good.
It was amazing. People were not expecting it.
Yep.
And I did the syringe. I attached a giant like 5cc syringe to my bra.
Perfect.
So it was a little oversized, but for good reason. And I put a red marker, like a red squiggly marker mark on my, in between my cleavage, on my clavicle. Clavicle? And then I wore a white button up that was just buttoned down to my bra.
Did you have an awesome hair on?
I just had hair like that then. So I just cut my bangs. It was a little longer than hers, but I just curled it way under, like dramatically. And I did liquid blush around my nostrils. So it sort of bled everywhere. And then little flats and little black capris and a trench coat. And then I had a bag of flour.
Oh, yeah. Cocaine, otherwise known as.
Yeah. The syringe was kind of the big thing.
It was big.
Yeah, it was good. It was like, I think it was like the most
thought out.
But also unexpected. Yeah. Like, no, everyone was like, what? Wait, what? Huh? And then, oh.
That's awesome.
Yeah, how about you?
Oh, I peaked a few years ago in the costume department. And so like you, I just have kind of not done it since then. But the best costume I ever had was, it started off, I had this goal of being a group costume of the Publishers Clearinghouse Prize Patrol, okay? And this is why, right? Like, I was like, think about it. You could have, you got the Ed McMahon, you've got, you know, you got the camera guy, you've got the boom mic operator, you got the person carrying the big check and the roses, all right? Maybe you could even have a makeup person who, like, powders the faces the mic, in between.
Yeah.
But then you can actually go and record people, like, they're winning the Publishers Clearinghouse, right? No one wanted to do that with me. So what? I was like, you know what? Fine, you guys. I'm doing this by myself. I was a boom mic operator.
I think that's a fantastic solo costume.
It actually was the very best costume I ever had because I made it myself. It was, I took like a wooden dowel and then I took clay and like molded like a mic, like a sponge mic at the end and painted it. And I rigged wire into it, wire that like wrapped around my belt loops.
Unbelievable.
And then I had like the giant, you know, headphones on, and then you just wear our regular clothes, right? So we met up at the old Kieran's. That was still a thing then. And there was a band playing, and I would just like walked right up to the band and like held my boom mic over my head. And they all could see me, and they were like, what is this? What's going on? And I was like, I'm just getting a sound bite. Just need to get a sound bite. And then that's what I did all night long. So like there would be couples and we went to some parties. There were couples that were like canoodling in the corner and then I would just awkwardly go hang out with my boom mic over them. And then
boom mic canoodlers.
Yeah. The best part I think was we were at a bar, a douchey bar that's no longer around, thankfully. And these, there was two gentlemen there, one dressed as a penguin. I don't remember what the other guy was, but they got into an altercation. So there's me with my boom mic right up in the heat of it, like Geraldo or some shit.
Oh my God, amazing.
And and then the penguin got really upset. He was a lot shorter than me. I'm only 5'4". The penguin
got really upset.
Yeah, he got really upset, and he was in my face, and he was like cursing at me, being like, I don't know if you, I just got punched, and you, and you had to get your shot for whatever it is that you're taping. Like, that's just bullshit. Blah, blah. And I was like, honey, you're dressed as a penguin. He goes, yeah, it's fucking Halloween. And I was like, right. Do you see a camera anywhere? Like, this is my costume. This is not real.
Asshole.
And he was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. That is awesome. Oh. And so it was actually really hilarious. But yeah. But it's like, where do you go from there? You know, it's like you're at the top. Where do you go?
I think it is one of those things that once you've satisfied it, it just isn't as important.
Where do you go?
And it has become a little bit like pre-New Year's Eve. Agreed. It's a little bit of a shit show. Everyone's trying to top everyone else. It's long lines at any major bars.
It's like a lot of Bob's Burgers characters and a lot of Royal Tenenbaums.
Really?
Oh yeah.
I didn't go out. I had people here.
I just saw on the Facebooks and the Instagrams like everybody's costumes, and I was like, oh,
yeah,
I've seen that one.
Yeah, I thought about going as Bob's Burger character, so I'm totally fucking guilty. I had no intention of dressing up, but I had a few little backdoor ideas.
Yeah, what is it? What's the mom? What's her name? Lydia?
Mm-hmm, I think so.
I just made that up. I don't know if it is. I've actually never seen an episode of Bob's Burgers.
I made it up too.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of like you always think it's going to be the most amazing night, but then you can't get a drink at the bar. And you can't get a cab, although now Uber and Lyft exist, so maybe you could, but...
Yeah, I thought about going as Tina Belcher.
Tina Belcher.
You know, with the blue t-shirt and the tube socks?
Yep.
I thought that would be easy to pull off with no additional things, which I really like. I like to use my current hair. Oh. I can't wear wigs because I have an Oprah-sized head.
Oh, they make Oprah wigs, you know.
For Oprah?
Mm-hmm.
Or for Kate?
No, they sell them on the Vivica... No. What's that lady? Is it Vivica Fox? Nope. I think it's a different lady who has a wig line.
Cool.
Anyway, they're Oprah hair.
Wow. Oh, Oprah's hair?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Psycho is Oprah.
Well, white no. Oprah. Yep. Yeah. That's a thing people do at the Halloween. The white people dress up like other people, other races of people.
Don't do that.
No, don't do that. That's absolutely ridiculous.
No, I would never do that.
I went as Twitter once. I forgot about that. And I wore a blue...
You went as Twitter?
Yeah, I wore a blue sweatsuit. And I had a bird nose. And then I had a dry erase board that I wore around my neck.
That's cute.
So I could tweet.
I almost think that we might have been at the same party.
Really? Was it at the Marquette? In the downtown Minneapolis?
Never mind.
Okay.
I was never fancy like that.
Well, I think just a lot of old people live there.
Mm.
But I was at a young person party. Anyways. Nice. Yeah, it's kind of I don't know. I was driving somewhere yesterday morning and I saw Link, you know, the Legend of Zelda character. Mm-hmm. An adult man dressed as Link. Walking up the street, a busy street. So clearly he had a lovely evening. And the thought that I had in my brain was, whoa, he probably started as a boy and then ended the night as a man. Because the next morning he was a grown Link.
I have seen a trend, an uptick, if you will, in costume switching.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. You know, as a thing.
Really? Like at weddings when you... Wear one dress to the ceremony and then another dress to the reception?
Well, kind of like when a bridesmaid and a groomsman will, he'll put on the dress and she'll put on the tux.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's a thing?
Mm-hmm. Apparently.
I
don't know. It's not a thing I've done.
Yeah, we must go to different ones.
I have, nope.
Yeah, I'm good.
I've seen it a couple times.
Yeah.
Anyway, it doesn't appeal to me as much as it used to. And also, I like to stay home and I like to entertain. So,
Way better.
Yeah. And then I put in the invite for people that were coming. I said, don't, like, you know, we're not going to be wearing a costume.
That was really nice.
Because I just didn't want people to feel like, oh, another thing I'm not prepared for.
Well, and then I think, like, now that Halloween is over, like, we're sort of launching into, like, the craziest time of the year for everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, like, Thanksgiving is basically tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And then it's, like, New Year's holiday, Christmas, Hanukkah, whatever, everything wrapped up now. And so I think there's so many, like, expectations that go along with this time of the year. You know, it's, like, the family times, the stuff. It's, like, ugh. Client parties, everything.
Yeah. I feel like it doesn't... I have kids, so the beginning of the school year is always pretty intense because you're on a new schedule, depending on what they're involved in. I feel like it doesn't... The intensity of the school year doesn't end until Halloween. And then you go to Target and the Christmas trees are up. And it doesn't matter whether or not you're really good at ignoring that.
Right.
It triggers, like, okay, I got to get that done, or I've got to have enough food around for people that stop by, or I've got to ask my mom about Thanksgiving and what I should bring.
Do you host ever? Or you always go?
I don't host. I host a Christmas Day brunch for people who are also hungry and want to come for brunch.
Oh my God, that is like the nicest thing. That's hygge right there.
Well, I don't want to go anywhere, so it's also selfish.
I don't know. It seems pretty hygge.
Thanks. Good. Well, I always stayed home on Christmas with my family. So we like sang Christmas carols on Christmas Eve. This is specifically for Christmas, but, you know, and then we opened presents on Christmas Day and we always stayed home. And once I had Aiden, I was like, I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to pack this baby up on Christmas Day and go somewhere. My mom and dad are incredibly gracious when it comes to stuff like that. They're like, sweetie, we know that you're a family now and we want you to have the opportunity to make your own traditions. Yeah, I know so many people that are like, my mom is like, you it's have just to. Not the same if everyone isn't here.
Oh my God.
And like that sort of role of mothering, like, what are our expectations? And they're like, both.
So you're
like,
talking about my family.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I cannot imagine having that pressure. Yeah. I hope to do the same things for my boys. Like, if you feel like better going to Mexico over Christmas, like, please go to Mexico over Christmas.
Yeah, I actually haven't spent a holiday with my family in 4 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like I choose not to now.
It's just too intense?
Like, yeah, well, okay, because like there's Thanksgiving and Christmas. It's like a month apart. Right. My family all lives in Milwaukee. So like the expectation was that I was always supposed to go there. That's a lot of travel for a place that I wouldn't necessarily pick to travel to twice in a month. Right. And and it's just like... It's a lot. Like, I always think of, this is how I describe, because people are always like, oh, what? You don't spend, and it's like, I'm a better person for it. Mm-hmm. There's a healthy reason behind it. And, like, for me, I always, whenever I go there, I always automatically felt 12. Like, I'm 36. I turned 37 this week. Like, I automatically feel 12 when I'm there. And so it's like, why do I keep putting myself into that situation? Like, I would stay at my parents' house, which was a bad idea. So now if I go, I stay at a hotel. I don't do that.
Then you're also talking about like extra expense.
Yeah, right. Extra expense. And for a place, like there was 1 year where I was like, I'm going to travel this year to a place that's not Milwaukee. Ooh. Like there, yeah, it's just, and you know, you're like, you're kind of at the liberty of everybody else. And it's just not great. So
I think that's amazing to know yourself well enough, because that is not an easy thing to do. There's a lot of betrayal there. There's a lot of hurt feelings, especially in the first years, to make that choice to not do what you always
did. And I do get that. It doesn't feel like Christmas without you. And it's like, well, there's a reason.
And you know what you say? That's your stuff.
Yep. Right.
Like, I also had to do processing to not piercing, but you had to do processing in order to make the choice to not go.
Right.
That's not nothing.
But you know what is really great, though, is that living here and like having so many people who like take me in on their holidays.
Oh,
and,
like, that's I love super, those stories.
Yeah, it's super nice. And I always, I'm like, hey, I'm the creepy like 30 something who doesn't have a place to go. But I'm always have multiple invitations for Thanksgiving and for Christmas, which is always very sweet. And And I've had the opportunity to spend those holidays with some really great people. So it's, I actually really like it. And after
chosen
the
family.
Yeah. After the first year, you know, it's kind of sad because you think like, oh, everyone's with their families right now and stuff. And I'm not. But it was like, I woke up Christmas morning, I remember, and I was like, this is just a day. Like, it's just a day. And I feel great. And any alcohol I choose to drink today is because I want to, not because I'm feeling forced into being able to deal with things.
Right. Yeah. That's a, I always love the quietness of like holidays because nobody calls.
Yep.
Nobody emails. I mean, you can't shop.
Right.
But it's like, there's kind of, it's sort of like a little bit of a, equalizer day because there's nothing else going on.
Yep.
I would like to think about it more like people are spending time with people they love.
Yeah.
Not people are spending time with their families.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, there are so many stories out there. There's so many people that are so far away from their families. There's so many people that had abusive things that are not resolved. There's so many things that, just anxiety is at an all time high.
Yep.
You have to make choices for yourself. So think about it more like that, you know?
Yep. Agreed.
Because it's too much of a burden to spend your life your funds to make someone else happy.
When you think of like Thanksgiving or Christmas, like a story or like a situation that like is like, if you have like a story that you tell people like, oh, this is like a thing that happened at the holidays. Do you have one? I have one. Do you have one?
I want you to tell yours because I might need a minute.
Well, I have a couple. Like one, they're kind of funny. Well, my mom at Christmas, my mom is, I don't know, we like peaked at our presents. Well, I did at like age five or something. And we've been paying for it for the last 30 years.
Oh, geez.
And so my mother stopped putting tags on gifts. She labeled them with a letter number combination. And you didn't know which letter combination was yours. So you couldn't, you didn't really peek at the presents because you didn't know whose was whose. So you couldn't waste the time. Right. So on Christmas morning, this isn't well into our adult lives, like probably would still continue if I had been there in the last few years. It maybe does. I don't know. But she rolls out on Christmas morning with a sealed envelope. OK, it's like Ernst & Young at the Grammys, you know, when they come, like they're like, we audited this, like this is what it's like. And she pulls out this like yellow legal pad that lists everything corresponding to its letter number combination. And she likes to control the order of which you open the gifts. Okay, so she does this, I think, because she likes to build up the anticipation to the end.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, this pile of presents, which is ridiculous. Like, we're all adults, like, you know. And my brother is older than me by a couple years, and so he always has to, like, pull the presents. And she'd be like, Johnny, can you pull C4 and give that to Jennifer? And so then he has to dig through the pile and try to find C4. Okay. And he'd be like, I have C7 and C12. Can she just open those?
Right. Like, it takes some of the joy out.
Yep. And then she'd look at the list and she'd be like, we really need C4. And so he gets all like pissed off and sweaty about it. And then, and so she does that because she like builds it up. And so it takes forever. It's like, you know,
an ordeal.
Like, gosh, so she does that. And then I think about my grandma at Thanksgiving. I guess it was Christmas because we always ate beef tenderloin. That was like the Christmas meal. And my grandma, she's passed away 10 years ago. So this is a few years before that. But she's really funny. Funny gal, and she used to tell these stories that would just make me laugh. And I always, like, at the dinner table, I was sat across from her. This is like real sassy little gal. She really liked the port wine.
Yeah, like
the cheap shit. The cheap shit, like the $3 jug, like the nasty stuff. Yeah, took care of your coughs. So I remember, like, at dinner one year, my mom actually was like, this could be grandma's last Christmas. Like, we don't know, you know? And so, like, that's in your head. And she was telling the story about something. And I asked her, I said, Grandma, tell the story of you riding on the motorcycle with your neighbor and how he liked you so much more after that. Because the story is that she, the neighbor had a crush on her and she went on his motorcycle. My grandma was born in 1916. This is like forever ago. And she went on his motorcycle, but she was wearing a button up shirt and it, her shirt like flew open on the motorcycle ride. And then she'd end the story, she'd be like, he really liked me a lot more after that. Well, aww. No shit. And so it's funny. And so she, I was like, tell that story. So she started telling it and she started laughing and she choked on beef tenderloin. And so my brother, this is like all in front of me, and my brother had to give her the Heimlich maneuver.
Oh my gosh, which, a time life remover?
Yeah, which she was so tiny. So like the visual, and it's funny. Like this is supposed to be funny. Oh. Like she was fine. But like I laugh like thinking about it because I, in my head, all I can see is this like tiny elderly woman with her like arms and legs like flailing. Well, you know, yeah. My brother's like, he said he like, my brother's a police officer. He said he, you know, like lightened up on it by at least 50%.
Wow.
And she still like cracked a few ribs. But anyway, she was like, she was fine. And we called 911 and the ambulance people, where is that? The emergency services.
Yeah. Emergency
like,
responders.
Yeah. They're like, just turn the porch light on. Like, we'll be there in a couple minutes. And so I went to turn the porch light on. It was broken. And she's like, I didn't want to bother anybody to fix the porch light. So I literally had to go stand in the middle of the street on Christmas and like wave the ambulance. It's hilarious. Aww. Like, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
And then she died, but not because of that.
Right.
She just was old.
Yeah.
But it was funny.
They do.
And that's what I think of. Like, this is going to be your grandma's last Christmas. And then literally it almost was.
Oh my God. I love that.
It was so funny. Yeah.
That is funny. Mm-hmm. I have like, we also made beef roast, tenderloin or something at my grandmommy's, and her house like always smelled like that and like Yorkshire pudding.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever make like, it's almost like a pannekuchen, but you make it with the beef fat.
So
and, like
good.
Puffs yep. up and it's unbelievably good. Her, that's the smell, one of the smells I'll always think about mm-hmm. with her in the holidays, and Downy.
Oh yeah.
And like bourbon. Like just like Yorkshire and like pudding.
light, easy listening radio.
Yeah. Or yeah. Like talk radio. Yeah. Yep. Isn't that funny? I once hugged the lady next door at an old house, and I got closer to her, and like the olfactory like register like mm-hmm. went flaring up for grandmommy because she like had like fresh bourbon on her breath and you could smell like the dryer sheets from her dryer coming out. It was in our backyard.
Awesome.
It was amazing. I was like, come, can I hug you more? Because that was exactly what I needed.
I love it.
And all those scents coming together. But so my mom is a chef mm-hmm. and so we grew up like eating great food and interesting food and well-prepared food. And so on Christmas Eve, so she wouldn't have a mess to clean up on Christmas, we got to go to McDonald's.
Oh my God, really?
That's the only awesome. Time we ever, I've never eaten fast food
that
with
is
my parents
awesome.
Ever. And so we would go, we would like pack up the car and before or after we would sing Christmas carols by the tree, like all dark. And then I'm the youngest too, so I kind of like held on to the traditions for longer.
Yeah.
But we would get like our once yearly
McDonald's.
Yeah. So we wouldn't have a big, so she could make all the Christmas meals without having a big,
that's
huge
awesome.
Mess. Because we never had a dishwasher.
Oh, God.
I think in their newest place, their new place, they really only lived in three houses ever together. And that included in their place downtown, they had their first dishwasher. Yeah, so I think that was part of it. You know, she's mm-hmm. just like, this is the one thing I'm going to do for myself
that
is just
awesome.
Do that. So we would go and get, like, sit in the restaurant and eat McDonald's French fries and get a shake. And
go we all out.
Go all out. Mm-hmm. So I like that idea of just, like, you know, we get takeout, you know, for things like that where I'm like, I just don't want a mess or... We go out before we go out of town or something.
Yeah, I don't know people who actually like eat at McDonald's anymore. It's like you can get the drive-thru, but I don't know people who actually like go in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still don't, you know, I once in a while, but I feel like shit afterwards.
Totally.
So it's been a while and the boys won't eat it.
That's awesome.
They just are like, it's Mama, it doesn't taste good. And I was like, no, it doesn't. But every once in a while you like really, really need to take them through a drive-thru. Yep. So once in a while, we'll do the breakfast now.
Yep.
You know, just for fun. McDonald's breakfast.
How old did you believe in like Santa Claus and stuff?
Totally. I was the youngest by 7 years, 6 years. And I wanted all that stuff to last forever. Like a true baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When did you, like, I don't know about you, but like for me, I'm the youngest as well, but I'm super like intuitive and like, like detective like. And so the letters and stuff, I would always compare the letters to my parents' handwriting.
Oh.
And so they changed their handwriting always. Each year it was different, like script, so that I couldn't quite prove.
Nice.
That they were, and I, like, we still have, like, a lot of the letters that we wrote as kids to Santa and, like, the response letters, which is, I love to go through that whenever I'm home, which has been a while. But, like, reading the responses that my dad came up with to
sweet,
like, one year, I remember once was, like, I was really little and I had, like, wrote this letter that my mom dictated, actually, or I dictated to my mom, she wrote it, but it was, like, I love dear mom, I love dear dad, I love dear Bubba, which is apparently what I call my brother, but sometimes he's mean and pops my balloon. Because we had gone to the bank and got a balloon and he popped it, so I had some feelings about that. But like, I folded that letter up and I scotch taped the shit out of it.
Always.
Like just, all around.
I was crazy about tape.
Yeah, and so in the response letter from Santa, it was like, Jennifer, like, thank you. For the response, or thank you for your letter. Next year, maybe don't use so much tape.
Very just like straight to the point.
I remember my brother said he wanted a fire truck, but he spelt it fur, F-I-R. He forgot the E.
Fur truck.
And so Santa was like, we are all out of fur trucks, but we got you a fire truck.
Nice.
Yeah.
Aww.
It was cute.
Yeah, I don't remember when I stopped. We always left snacks out for Santa. I think until like I was 11 or 12.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think mostly we're still keeping it alive now for Colin, who is Aiden only knows. Be a couple years. I think he's gotten a clue, but he is
so good with his brother.
Boy. Yeah. And he's so thoughtful and he also loves magic.
Yeah.
And just like that kind of stuff, which is, I guess it's just opposite of cynic.
Yeah.
You know, he just really loves, he loves that stuff and he loves to keep it alive for Coleman. And that, I mean, I can't ask for, that's just the sweetest. That's the sweetest ever.
That is really cute.
So, but he'll take me aside and he'll be like, Mama, I just want to let you know that I talked to Alec about Santa, his little best friend. Because Alec has an older sibling.
Yeah.
Too, and like whenever you have kids, you know, your kids are friends with kids with older siblings, like things get debunked faster.
Like sexy stuff, that too.
I don't know, but probably they're a great family, so I don't expect it to be, you know, out of control.
No.
But you know what I mean? It just happens. It's like once you put your kids on a school bus, it's kind of over.
They learn the F word.
Yeah. I mean, at first day of school, like it's all, and I like never want to be, you know, I always want to be really realistic about stuff like that. Yeah. But anyway, yeah. So I feel like some of it's age, but some of it's just, I'm just ready to be, just do what I want on holidays rather than do what you're quote unquote supposed to do or like New Year's Eve. I mean,
oh my God, I hate New Year's Eve.
I hate it for so many reasons. It's like the people just thinking they can completely change who they are overnight, like you said before.
I love that. I love that. In fact,
I just want to give them a hug and say, sweetie, you know what? Take your time.
Every day, every year, I think on New Year's Eve, I tweet something like, tomorrow I'm going to wake up and be totally different. But really, it's just,
I count on you for that stuff. Mm-hmm. Please never stop.
I don't know. I mean, like, New Year's resolutions are okay, well, wait. New Year's Eve, for one, is like everyone, it's completely romanticized, you know? Like everybody, like there's so much pressure on that day to be like amazing and wonderful. And like you never end up going out until like 11:45 p.m. because the damn cabs like are too booked up.
Yeah.
To like figure out how to get you to where you need to be. Like the lines, just like Halloween, are always like so long. You're spending it with a bunch of strangers you don't even know, which I love to have like parties with your actual friends, you know,
yeah,
like doing it right,
and do then some fun, Some like, fun hors d'oeuvres.
Nobody ever wants to kiss me at midnight. You know, it's just like a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Depends on where you are in your life. And I just, I remember the, I think the last time I went out on New Year's Eve, it was a long time ago.
Yeah, me too.
I think the last, I went to a friend's Halloween party a few years in a row, but it was at her house. Mm-hmm. And her house is attached to her studio. So it felt like, you know what I mean? It felt cool. Like a safe place. Mm-hmm. I knew I could sleep there if I needed to. I knew most of the people that went. And I had gone a few years in a row. So it was like very kind of controlled or whatever you want. It wasn't a bar. And then I think I went out on New Year's Eve. No, St. Patrick's Day. The last time I went out on St. Patrick's Day was when the new Kieran's opened.
Yeah.
That was a really, really fun night. Yep. But I had a safe way to get home. I didn't stay out too late. But I'm just not into, it's just like driving on a freeway. You know what I mean? Like you're in control of your stuff.
Yeah.
But it's just all the other people.
All the other people.
That you have to worry about. And I don't know. Yeah. Just I don't particularly love crowds anymore. Well, I think
it's the company you keep too. You know, it's kind of like I love, like I've been to a few weddings on New Year's Eve, which...
Oh, uh-huh. Wow. Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, in theory, I think it makes some sense.
Well, I guess you could,
It's a cheaper day to have your wedding. Okay. Like all your friends will be together in one place. You know, you have a place to stay.
Not a bar,
you
got
a thing. Yep.
Typically.
So like, I get that. But then sometimes you have to go to weddings and people that are your friends, but not like your best friends. So then suddenly you're spending New Year's Eve with a lot of people that you've kind of
80%,
really know.
90% yeah. strangers.
And as a comedian, that's also a huge work night for us.
Oh, yeah.
So I it's kind of nice, like, in some ways to have to work on that night because it's like, oh, I have to work. So you kind of get out of that. You're still sort of in it,
yeah.
But you're the entertainment. So and it's actually like one of the best paying nights of the year.
I bet because the places make a lot of money that night.
So if you listen to this and you need a comedian for New Year's Eve, I don't have anything booked yet.
Nice. Let's get you booked.
Yeah, right. Let's get me booked,
people. When my brother was part owner of the Astor Cafe, the first year, I think, or the second year, he had Dessa come.
Oh, nice.
And do a New Year's Eve show. And that was...
amazing.
Brilliant. It was probably 5 years ago now. Mm-hmm. But it was just a super magical night. My friend Chelsea Brink
Do I know her?
She lives in California now, but she lived here for a while.
Did she just start following me on Twitter?
She might have. She's friends with the McInerneys.
Oh, yeah.
So you might know her from that group. Like, she's a good friend of ours. And anyway, we're talking Chelsea. We're not recording a podcast. Chelsea's is amazing. She does most of my graphic design work.
Oh, cool. Maybe that's why I know her, too.
She's so talented. She was just listed on one of the major websites about, like, who to follow on Instagram if you love color.
Cool.
She's got an amazing feed and such a great portfolio. Really fun and colorful. It goes against a lot of the rules. Mm-hmm. And it's just beautiful.
That's cool.
So she just did the new Clever Kate logo, that circular logo that looks like a stamp. And it's just gorgeous. And that. So she, what were we talking about?
Chelsea Brink. Oh, God.
We really, really went down a rabbit hole.
Was it a party? Was it a New Year's? Was it a Tessa?
Yeah, she designed a poster.
Thank you, producer Kyle.
Thank you for our producer Kyle for his counsel.
Tessa, Astor Cafe.
Memory. Yeah, so she did a. Chelsea designed a print that was like navy blue and gold. It was a special edition print that for everyone that came. No one that signed up knew they were getting the print. So it was like this cool thing you handed out at the end. And it was just really fun. It was, and that room is small enough where, you know, you had a dedicated server, but it was more than 100 people.
Was there a lot of sequins on New Year's Eve at that party?
Nope.
Wow.
I wore fishnets.
I was going to say, like, if there was a one day a year you get to wear sequins, it's New Year's Eve.
You know what?
Like, everyone fucking wears the sequins.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I am going to Vegas this week to see Britney Spears. In concert, my friends planned it, and I was like, yeah.
Amazing.
That sounds like fun. I'll go. And I found this dress, sequin dress. I was like,
you're going to have to show me it.
I will. Okay. And I'm so excited to wear it. So it's sort of like awesome. That. I'm not dressing up for Halloween, but I'm going.
Well, you're
flying to Vegas.
It's Brit.
Sequin dress. Right?
You
She'll love it.
Does she sing live? This is not related, but I don't think that. Does she? You're going to have to report back.
I don't think so. Yeah. And I've heard the show is like the same. It's locked down pretty much every night. So there's not a ton of... It's a great gig for her, I think. Yep. But anyway, so I'm not dressing up for that, but I'm going to dress up for...
Yeah.
And then I... when I was going through my separation and got divorced, I changed everything. I had the opportunity to change everything that I was doing for the holidays.
That's super. Yeah.
I was just like, nope. And this is why, or maybe sometimes I didn't give a reason why, but I just was able to really reset and make it about what I wanted it to be about again. And I was so sad for the last, like, pre that, like the last few holiday seasons had been really sad and hard.
Yeah.
So I was ready to...
I think it's like...
Do something different.
People just get so stressed out like this time of year. It's like you're spending a ton of money. You have all these things to do. You have all these places you're supposed to be. You have all your, you know, plus there like a plethora of food is presented to you that you wouldn't necessarily eat. So you tend to, like, if you're stressed out, then you eat more and you maybe not exercising as much as you normally would, like in the other realm of the year. And like, I don't know, but it's just like everyone's just going all these places all the time, and it just is exhausting. And so I think what you're doing is great.
Well, I think of like what are all the parts that I do like?
Yeah.
And then I'm going to start with those, and then maybe I can add some other stuff later. And so I really started making it about, you know, I started making it really special for the boys. And started being really deliberate about the presents I bought instead of being...
The mass, the quantity, quality versus quantity.
Yeah, and part of that was that I was a stay-at-home mom before I left. And so I was building my job and my savings account after the divorce. And so I really had to be deliberate about it. But I've always done better with less. And so this was just another example of that happening. So I had to be really thoughtful about... You know, things that they got excited about during the year, and I'd jot them down, or making sure there was something to, you know, learn from and something to play with, like physically and, you know, a good balance of stuff. And then I always love stocking stuffers. So I'd make sure there was lots of like little fun puzzles and stuff that they loved in there. And we always got like a little bit of practical stuff in our stockings, like socks and underwear, because, and then it just, after a few years, it just becomes fun and funny to know that you're going to
get lifesavers,
fresh socks and lifesavers, gold coins. So, and then I just thought, you know, they have so much. Their dad and their dad's mom are very generous, especially his mom. And then they have my parents, and they have a lot of people, and buying presents for them. And it's like, you just don't need that much stuff. They ignore the stuff that they don't absolutely love. They do. And I don't blame them.
Yeah.
So just kept that deliberate and made like I ring jingle bells in their ears after they fall asleep. And that's cute. Sort of mushy, but
like for Santa?
Yep.
Oh my God. That is really cute. My
kids are falling asleep. I just kind of wave the little.
So they're like, oh, did you hear that? That's cute. My mom. Okay. My brother had bunk beds growing up in his room, and so like on holidays I would always sleep on the top bunk because he slept on the bottom, so we would be in the same room or whatever.
And
she had like a voice activated tape recorder that she slid under the bed because she wanted to hear like the stuff that we would say about like Santa and stuff when we were little. Except for the part where we all of a sudden were like, what is that sound every time we talk, like something turns on because you could hear
that's so
we figured
funny.
It out what she was doing, but we would be like, oh, I just saw a red nose in the sky, or like did you hear that on the roof, you know, all that stuff. But I thought it was hilarious that she was trying to capture it, and all of a sudden you hear this
like someone, what is that? Elle's making brownies under our bed.
Turns out the voice activated tape recorder. That's how old it was. Tape recorder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty funny.
Yeah. So it's one of those things where, you know, at a certain point you just stop trying to please other people. And it's like, if you can become aware of that before you get married or before you have kids, it's it's for the better. It's yep. really hard to do without a significant event where you feel like you could justify it.
Yep.
But if you can, please do it and ask me how. I feel like I'm like a, you know.
Yes.
Like if you need to, you know, shape it somehow, just seriously hit me up on Twitter and be like, how did you handle it when your mom said this? Or how did you handle it when you stopped? Oh my God, the biggest topic is people still buying gifts for each other as adults and how all of a sudden you have like a car payment, a house payment, mm-hmm. kids.
We just stopped. I said, let's just not.
Yeah. And how that is like taken, like you have slit someone's throat, you know, to and let it bleed out in front of the family. Mm-hmm. Like it is so touchy. But I don't want presents people can't afford.
Right.
And I don't want to give presents I can't afford. And also, we don't
need anything. I don't need anything. I don't need All right, this is a bad story, but I feel like I need to share it.
I want you to share it.
Okay. So I remember I was 26 years old when this happened. It was Christmas. And my mom and dad, the way our living room was set up, where we had like my mom and dad were on one couch, my brother and my sister-in-law were on another couch, perpendicular, mm-hmm. right? And then I was like on the chair across the room, like by myself. So just already like outcasted in the dynamic of, you know, I mean, it's not on purpose, but like, you know, it's like couples and then me, like, and I'm an adult.
You're like keenly aware of it suddenly.
And so my mom went through the whole like list thing, like I mentioned earlier, building up to this last gift. And she was really excited about it. And I'm like, I don't, what could this be? Like, I don't need anything. There's not like a thing that I was like, oh, this would change my life. And so, but she was really excited to give it to me. And she was saying things like, this, oh, you're just gonna love this, and like I think you could use it on New Year's Eve, like it'll be so fun. And so like she was so excited and amped up about it that I started to kind of be like, well, what is this, you know, this is kind of exciting. And so I'm on the ostracized chair and like started to open it, and I realized what it was, and I did not know how to react. Like I was so mortified that this was a thing that was happening in front of my family. My mother gave me, I think it's called Mr. Wonderful doll. And it's about a foot tall. And you press his hand and he says things like, you're really pretty.
Oh my
or, God. Yeah. Jen. Or like, why aren't you put your feet up? You've had a hard day. Like,
shut up.
I'm not joking. It was, I literally like set it down on the floor and I walked into the kitchen and I was like, motherfucker. And then I was like, oh shit. Like I have nowhere to go. Like it's 9 a.m. Like this is, I'm stuck, you know? And so like my mom was like in the living room and she's like,
oh my God.
Yeah. She was like, what? This wasn't, I'm like, this is ridiculous. She's like, but I thought it would be funny. Remember the part where she said you could use it on New Year's Eve? Let's just talk about that for a second. Where she's like,
yeah,
how, like I'm going to show up with a doll. And I was like, I can't even. This is
it's one thing to give somebody a gift that you think is going to be funny and say, oh, okay, this is just for fun.
But even still, like as a 26 year old like adult who clearly like, you know, I was like, she goes, I'm like, it wouldn't even be funny at 12. Like, it's ridiculous. And so she was like, I'll take it back. And I was like, you know what? The damage is done, lady. Like, it's already, it
That's
is what
cruel.
It is. Yeah, it was kind of.
I'm sorry.
And I know that that wasn't her intention. Like, so I should clarify that. I don't think she didn't intend for that to go down that way. But, you know, it did. And
I laugh
about it. Like, I laugh about it now. But, you know, like, I do.
It did.
It's really, I think it's, you know, hilarious. And, like I have been for years and years trying to, like, figure out a way to make that a joke. But I can't figure out a way to, like, make it come across where other people think it's funny instead of feeling sad for me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, my, like, he says all these things. And then I'm always like, yeah, the last thing he said was, Jesus Christ, Jenny, even your mom thinks you can't get married. So, like, you know, I had that doll forever. Like, it was, like, shoved up in a closet, like, you know, way back.
Yeah.
Because I was like, you motherfucker. And then I had it in my trunk for a long time. For some reason, I think I, like, was showing someone. So it was just sitting in my trunk. And then after a while, it, like, stopped working. So when you press it down, it would be like, I was like, that feels more appropriate.
That seems like yeah. It could turn into a horror movie pretty quickly.
It was. He was not even that cute. This is the thing. Not even that cute. Right. Ken's cute. This guy, not. He had like a weird cartoony plastic face.
Right.
Not into that.
Looks a little bit like Bob Saget.
Yeah. But like in a cartoon. But like also Fred Flintstone.
Little square mm-hmm. face going on.
So anyway.
Yeah. Giant Jughead.
That was fun.
Wow. Well, I don't have anything to tell like that. I don't.
Oh, and it's like the intention. I'm glad, you know?
Too. I know.
It makes me laugh.
I know, honey. Yeah. I know.
Or like the XXXL t-shirt and you're like, oh, thanks. It's just my size. It's perfect. Oh, I thought you could wear it as a nightgown.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, you. Mom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Bitches.
That.
I know.
Got nothing.
Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas, everybody.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so share with us stories about...
Yeah, we want to hear them.
Yeah, we'd love to hear your stories. We'll share them on the next episode.
One more thing I just want to ask,
though. Yeah.
Do you guys write like a holiday letter?
No. Oh, no. No, no.
Well,
no.
As my therapist says, you know, Facebook is like the world's longest holiday letter. So you don't have to do that anymore. Yep.
Yep.
All year round. But like, I love to collect holiday letters. So like, if people also get those, you know, where it's like, we painted our house red, no one cares. Like, you know, our lives are amazing, but really we're, you know, going
through a divorce.
The
people that care about your house, your door being painted red, are the people that have been to your house.
There is.
They don't need a letter.
No, but I love reading the letters because they're so ridiculous.
Don't stop producing them.
And don't stop. Like, please send them to me. Scan them and email me because there are some epic letters that I've collected over the years. And sometimes I'm lucky enough to do a holiday themed show like with Mary Mack and stuff, and I get to read them.
Yeah.
Because they're just, I don't know if they're podcast appropriate, but they're good.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know that. I don't typically read them if they come. I like to look at the picture.
Oh, send them to me.
I will.
Names will be changed.
Okay. I feel like they have gone down the line of inappropriate, you know, quite a few times.
But, oh, yeah. Like politics. We talk about the politics. Mm-hmm. You know what? One favorite line I do have from one is like, well, it's going to be a tough year financially because, you know, Jane and her kids moved back in with us and it's going to be, you know, a challenge, but at least we know her kids are going to be bathed and fed. Okay. That's a real line.
Yeah.
That's a real line from a letter. Yeah. Like, yeah. Or Cindy's dating a guy, but he's 20 years older than her, but we figure it's the best she'll be able to do. Like, real line.
Wow.
Yeah. It's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah. That's brilliant. For all the wrong reasons, but.
Yeah.
Anyway. Well, happy holidays.
I'm just going to edit my holiday letter now.
Oh, so good.
Not include the...
I used to write a fake one every year. It was like lies.
I would have loved to be on that list.
Yeah, now I just do the holiday photo card thing.
Oh, I love that.
With my cat.
It's amazing. The old style with the double exposure image and stuff.
Yes.
Brilliant.
I love those.
We do a photo, but it's usually like last year, our photo was like in the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And
which are the best ones?
Saturday morning at 11 a.m. and I was in that Zeus Jones stocking hat that everybody got last year,
which I didn't, but thank you.
Okay, that most people had last year, but I was wearing that, and we were mostly in our pajamas, and we just took a selfie.
I love it,
and that was essentially the first. Or the only thing we sent out. Yeah, it was just like, you see us, you know, if you love us, you see us, you know what our faces mm-hmm. look like. Like, we don't need to dress up and coordinate colors.
And be walking through a field of autumnal leaves.
Yeah, it was like light flares and et cetera. I don't know.
At our house, my cat and I, we just like to do like a little something special, you know.
Oh, so good at it.
That last year we were just a couple of sensible French gals, you know, with our berets on. We did. This year I was thinking of like a nautical theme.
Can't wait.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They do make some nice cat accessories on the World Wide Web.
Cat accessories?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They found like a little captain's hat for her. So, you know, we could do Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see what inspires.
Good luck.
Thank you. Good luck to you too.
Yeah. Send us your crazy holiday letters and also send us your favorite stories.
Yeah. Stories and
traditions.
Yep.
And also, if you have tricky situations that you're trying to get out of, let us know.
Clever Kate is really good at solving those.
Well, I've had a lot of them. I feel like that's really my only qualification, but I think that's probably enough.
Yep.
Yeah, but let us know tricky stuff that you've said. You know, you've either set a boundary or created a new tradition because you were so stressed out by an old one. We'd love to hear about that stuff. So,
all right.
Give us a tweet.
All right.
Hit us up on the Twitters.
Because you can do that. Because you joined us today, which thank you for joining us, everybody.
Yeah, you're the best.
This is Jen, and you can find me, you can tweet me at Jen Schall or on my website at jenschall.com.
Nice. This is Kate. You can find me at clever-kate.com or on Twitter at cleverkate. You can find this podcast at mathishard.net or anywhere you listen to podcasts.
We're on iTunes.
We are also on iTunes, the Apple behemoth. XOXO.
JK.